Thank you for listening to the Shanghai Community Fellowship Podcast. To find out more about the SCF community, listen to sermons, and upcoming events, visit us at shanghaifellowship.org.
I have today on this podcast, I'm not doing this by myself, I have two great friends and two people who have been a part of SCF for a long time. You're going to hear from them, Ruth and Adam. And so, Ruth, I'd like to ask you to go ahead and tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Okay. Yeah. Hi. My name is Ruth DePater. I come from Chicago in the United States. I've been in Shanghai for more than 17 years. I'm married, and we have two teenagers. They were actually born in Shanghai, so they've lived their entire lives so far at SCF. And so this is our home, and we're happy to be here.
Great. Adam.
I'm Adam. I'm from Austin, Texas, and been in Shanghai for a similar amount of time, 19 years in China, 16 in Shanghai, and 3 in Beijing. I'm actually an elder at SCF, and thank you for that honor, Pastor Dale. And I've been attending for about 12 years now.
Great. Well, this podcast is going to be about our personal prayer lives. And as we get into this topic, because I've taught on this topic many times before, and I know that for some people, it can be a real guilt-producing kind of a thing. Oh, I should be praying more. Or I feel bad about that. And that is not the intent here at all. Actually, we hope to be able to encourage you and just to draw closer to Father God and know Him in more real, meaningful ways for each of us. And then, of course, especially, I think, when we do face times like we're in right now, where things are happening that we just didn't expect, where we don't really know what's going to happen tomorrow, where's this going, and kind of all that uncertainty sometimes. And it's not just around the virus, but because that's going to happen at other times. But just that connection. We're going to talk today about that connection between just our own walk with God, and I'm going to use lots of phrases here. I'm going to use, our walk with God, our time with God, our quiet time, my own personal prayer life. One of my favorites here is abiding, which I'll talk more about that later, because that word needs some explanation. But just my own time with Jesus, with the Father, and what I draw from that, what we draw from that, especially in times where things are uncertain, they seem uncertain to us. So that's what we're talking about today, and we're gonna hear from Ruth and Adam, myself, of course. And before this podcast is over, we're going to hopefully give you a few tools if prayer, personal prayer, is something new for you, that will help you get started and encourage you to do that. I'll also be able to give you a website and direct you to a website that has a lot more to offer on how to start something like this or be encouraged in prayer as well. So, all right. So to get started, Adam, just your thoughts on what is the connection? Where is the value of meeting with the Father? Let's just say on a regular basis, personally, intimately, just that connection, and especially as it relates to maybe when things seem uncertain, how does somebody draw strength from that relationship? Just go with that and run with that however you'd like. So,
all right, thanks for that question. Well, I can't state enough how important it is to stay connected with God on a daily basis, no matter what you're going through. I think the best example I can think of, it will be, just having an intense relationship with someone you love. When I really think about having a relationship with Jesus, and it'd be much like a similar situation where, whether it's with your wife or whether it's with your parents or with your kids or whatever, like you need to have that connection. It needs to happen on a daily basis, and not even one time a day, but just throughout the day, and even more so in intense and difficult situations. I think about if something happened in your family, you would want to be touching base with your family numerous times throughout the day. And it's so much the case that you need to be connecting with our Heavenly Father the same amount. And the reason for that is, like, you know, you get that guidance, you get that assurance. God fills you with confidence in those moments. God fills you with wisdom on what to say, what to do, and just it takes the burden off your shoulders of needing to solve things yourselves. And I truly feel that the difference between myself and unbelievers when I'm talking to them about something that's out of our control is I really see a huge amount of panic in people that don't have some sort of foundation to lean against, compared to, say, other believers who say, well, you know, we can lean on God's sovereignty and he's going to make something good come out of this. In fact, I was thinking about, I've been reading Daniel. And so in Daniel chapter 2, there's a specific situation where it's Daniel's life is on the line. It happens several times throughout Daniel. But in Daniel 2, where the king made the order to, let's just kill all the wise men. They can't interpret my dream. We're killing them all, of which Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were three of those people. They're all going to be killed. And Daniel asked for, hey, I need another, a little bit more time. And so what did he do at that time? Well, he went home, and if I'm reading out of Daniel 2:17, then Daniel went home and told his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah what had happened. He urged them to ask the God of heaven to show them his mercy by telling them the secret so that they would not be executed along with the other wise men of Babylon. That night, the secret was revealed to Daniel in a vision, and Daniel praised the God of heaven. Just kind of, you think about a situation, you're faced with something, faced with your death, and what does Daniel choose to do? He chooses to, with his friends, pray to God, to ask for guidance on it, and he received it. And so I'd say in those uncertain times, that's the first place you should think of.
Mm. Yeah, I think too, from Daniel's life, he somewhere it talks about him just praying regularly. Was it maybe
absolutely
three times a day?
Yeah, three times a day. And, the outlawing of prayer, and Daniel said, you know what? I'm gonna leave the windows open upstairs where everyone can see me, and I'm gonna pray three times a day. Even though it was outlawed to pray at that time, he did not back down from that, and so I can draw tons of courage from that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think sometimes, you know, this idea of prayer, just prayer by itself, my own prayer life, you know, it's something you can start anytime, and I find that encouraging.
Yeah,
it's not like you're penalized.
Yeah,
you know, if you've never prayed before, you have to start at the back. You know, it's just, you can just start at any time.
Start anytime, absolutely.
Good, Ruth. So some idea, similar thought or question, you know. You know, how does God, from your point of view, how does God give us strength when meeting him? You know, not necessarily in the big group meeting, you know, like, which is good, you know, right, of course. And because I think, I would think, and I say this because I think I've heard a lot of people say this, that, you know, they love to come on Sunday when 700 people are worshiping together. It's powerful. It's dynamic, and it is. It's all those things, but it isn't just that, right? Mm-hmm. You know, what does it look like when God is just meeting you?
Yeah. So I want to echo kind of what Adam has said about it being like a relationship with someone else that you love, and that it needs to be regular, and also at the beginning, Pastor Dale, you said that. You know, there's a lot of models to help us get started, but sometimes we feel a lot of shame or something if we don't do it the right way. Mm-hmm. And I don't really think there is a right way. I think that there are models, even the models that Jesus gave us, and things that help make it more concrete, because it can seem very abstract and, oh, it's spiritual and it's hard to see and feel. That can really help us get started and to know what are important aspects of our prayer life. But I really think that the enemy feeds off of, you didn't do your quiet time for this many minutes, and you didn't do this, and you didn't do that, and there's a lot of condemnation. So people just give up, kind of like healthy eating or exercise at the beginning of the new year. And so you just stop trying altogether. Instead of kind of just approaching God like, God, I want to know you. I want to connect my heart with you throughout the day. I want to talk to you and tell you what's on my heart, what I'm struggling with, and what I'm feeling, and what I need. And I want to listen to you and listen to your voice I want to, as much as possible, align my life with what you want for me. And I actually think it's in little increments throughout the day. Mm-hmm. And I think especially through hard times and uncertain times and trials, that we learn an awful lot of God's character in our lives, and we can see, oh, I can trust God because he did this when I was struggling that last time, or, you know, he brought us through the SARS epidemic, so I know he's going to bring us through this epidemic. I know and I can see what God has been doing in my life, and I can trust him, and my trust of him grows, and trust is like a human relationship concept. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just something that grows inside me where I trust him completely. And well, I say that, and I'm sure there's bits that I don't really trust him, but I'm going to keep learning and growing in that. But I also like learn where my heart and my life doesn't match up to him, and what he wants for me. And that's something that I'm constantly growing into through hard times. And really, these hard times are really times of gold, because that's really where God changes us and changes our understanding of him and grows us and grows us closer to him. So these times of uncertainty and hardship are actually just times of pure gold. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to walk through it. And we don't always recognize the value at the time, but when we look back, we say, oh, that was a very precious time because I learned this. And you really get that out of hard times and not out of good times. And, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been just reflecting on this, that, you know, because you both mentioned, you know, it's like a relationship, right? And I think on one hand, you know, the more I spend with someone, and like any relationship, the more I'm investing, and you know, it gets richer and deeper. And I'd like to think with God that, and maybe this is what I was alluding to a minute ago, is that yeah, of course. I mean, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. You know, of course, if I'm investing and kind of really spending that time, then during more difficult, challenging times, you know, like, hey, God and I are really close, you know, and I can draw from that. If during unexpected, difficult, stressful times, God's almost like a stranger to me, that probably is going to look different, except maybe for the character of God, you know, because that may be what grace means, you know, that it's not like he's going to withhold and say, you know, okay, well, I would have shown you some grace, but I hardly know you. So I find myself trying to balance those two things. You know, on the one hand, yes, the more I know him and seek him and listen to him, like you said, Ruth, you know, the whole relationship is richer and deeper. But even if I'm a relative stranger, if I call on his name, I know I will see if I think it's grace and to help in time of trouble. Yeah. Just not to put you both on the spot, but your own, you know, maybe a story, an example from your own walk, you know, that where the richness, or just even just a, someone said one time, you know, like the shortest prayer and sometimes most effective prayer is help, you know. Yeah, just something maybe out of your own journey.
I could give one. I think this was on my heart to give. It wasn't life threatening. It wasn't any sort of crisis situation, but it was a big decision. It was I going to move from one company to another, which was going to completely kind of change my career, and had a lot of implications because one job was in the States and one job was staying here, and so. We'd kind of given ourselves this time frame. We were going on vacation. Audrey and I were going on vacation. I'm giving ourselves this time, and we were praying leading up to, all right, God, when we go on this trip, you know, by the end of the trip, you're going to give us the answer. And so, you know, every day we're praying, and, you know, she's on company A, I'm on company B, and then, you know, we're praying, and then the next day she's on B, I'm on A, and then just going back and forth, and it's just not clear. But we kept praying, and we kept asking. And at the end of the trip, I was like, I still don't know. I still have not heard clearly from God. And when I landed, I'd promised those two places, I'd give them an answer, you know? And so sure enough, I land, and they're like, okay, what's the answer? I'm like, I haven't heard from God. And I was really touched because I could see God through all this, because the headhunter from Company B was, wow, you know, I'm a Christian too. That's awesome. I'll give you a little bit longer. I'll buy some time with that company, which I thought was great. And so I had a little more time, and I kept praying. And I was like, you know, what's God, what do you want me to do? And it wasn't coming, but it was important to continually pray through this. And the reason I'm telling this story is that it wasn't a crisis situation, but it was a very important moment in my life. And then God waited for his timing, which I thought was great, and came to Yom Kippur. And for those who don't know, Yom Kippur, you know, is Day of Atonement, so Day of Unconfessed Sin. And I was working at Company A, and basically, I remember I was sitting there in my office, and there was a moment in the afternoon, it was really quiet, and I was like, God, you know, I'm so tired of asking for this. What do you want me to do? And it was just this quiet moment. I was sitting there, and God told me specifically, you have held Company A over me on that day, on Yom Kippur, a day I'm looking for, okay, what's my unconfessed sin? That was it. And I'd never seen that. And so it started a journey of moving over to Company B and all that sort of stuff. But what I thought was great about it was, here was my time. All right, we've got this vacation. It's the perfect, God, it's the perfect time to connect with you. This is my plan. Let me show it to you. You're going to tell us in this time frame. And I thought it was great. And then by the end, it didn't match, but it matched his time frame. And he wanted to tell me on that day. And then kind of several things happened right after that to where I knew that was the right time. So it's not a crisis story, but I felt like it was a story that's just been in my mind. And I was thinking about this topic of God choosing his time. And part of that is that daily prayer, continually checking in with him. And he may not tell you exactly when you want to hear it, but he's going to tell you when he thinks you need to know it. And it all worked out for me. So that's kind of something I wanted to share, specifically for people who are praying through something, big decisions or whatever it may be.
Yeah. I mean, I know there have been times over the years where Becky and I, or I was praying about something, and it was stressful because the outcome was unknown. You know, those, you know, you just don't know how it's going to go. Yeah. And I think being as a Christian, I want God to lead me. You know, I want to at least have a feel like I'm being led. That's important to me. Yeah. But it's not always easy to know that that's what's happening, that I am being led, you know. And we were praying about similar to your story, Adam, that, you know, it was a decision to stay or go. Do we keep doing what we've been doing, or which just didn't feel right, you know, like, and it was, and so we were getting some pressure from the current situation. If you're going to stay with us, you're going to have to move back to China. And actually, we were living in the U.S. So, I mean, staying and not doing anything was actually meant a move for us would have been back to China. And so, which would have been big. It's huge. We were living in the U.S. And that just didn't feel right. But yet, we didn't know what right looked like. You know, what? And so we were really praying a lot about that. And I think, again, like I was mentioning before, I mean, certainly kind of that ongoing relationship that I had with Father God helped me to face that stressful, we need to make a decision, like now, we're running out of time. And you and I kept saying, and it probably only made sense to me, I told a few other people, you know, this is a situation I did not contrive. In other words, I did not falsely put myself into a do or die, you know, create a false line. I was going to have to get on a plane. And so we're just praying and really for just like something. And someone just called us and offered something to me that I thought, I think I knew then, even at that moment, that this was the thing I was looking for. And even just recently, something that I've been praying about was, you know, surrender, you know, that, that they're like, I felt like this was a point in praying, talking to God, that he was asking me to surrender and submit. And so I, you know, you get these biblical themes that, that are there, you know, they're there. And then maybe that's what praying is like too, because you're realizing, oh, I need to apply this to me, you know? So, let me just talk this back over to you with just a story, application.
Yeah. Well, actually I'm kind of feeding off of both of you here. I wasn't planning to share this at all, but, many years ago, we lived in another city in China before we moved to Shanghai. And we had some really hard years there. And I was totally burnt out, totally fried. I wanted to leave China, and my husband was not for it at all. He just couldn't hear it. And I thought, why are we here? Why do we keep doing this? It's awful. It's terrible. All this bad stuff is happening. I'm totally dead inside. It was a terrible time for me. And, you know, so anyway, I got counseling. We got counseling. We got help that we needed. But still, we didn't have an answer about, do we stay here or do we go? And if we go, where do we go to? Because I'm from the United States, but my husband is from the Netherlands, and so we don't really have a very straightforward answer there. And anyway, so I was ready to pack up and go, but he wanted to stay, but he was good, and he said, okay, well, let's do this. Let's give it to the end of the year, and it was pretty early in the year, I want to say like March. And if God hasn't spoken by then we can leave. And if God speaks, then we'll do whatever God tells us. And I'm not kidding. It's December 30th. joking. December 30th, God speaks to us. And he gives us this verse from Exodus about the Israelites who are coming out of Egypt, and they're in the desert, and there's this pillar of cloud and fire that leads them on. And it's this little verse in there just hit us right in the heart, just saying, the pillar is still there. And so I said, okay, that's all I needed to know. If God wants us to stay, I'm happy to stay, and I can endure this. If I know that it's God's will for us and his plan for us, that's fine. And for my husband, it was, oh, God's presence is still here, but it won't always be here. It will move soon. And so I felt like, you know, we were kind of on opposite ends of the spectrum, but God brought us together on the same page. And I went back to the situation that I was in. I had some hard conversations. I dealt with a lot of issues, and I got myself healthy, and I did all these things to bring closure, and I didn't even know I was bringing closure. I thought I'm just growing to move on and move forward. And then a couple months later, God spoke and said, okay, it's time for you to move to Shanghai. And we were both ready for it then. And sometimes I really believe this about couples, because I've seen a lot of couples making decisions where they are not in agreement. But I believe that if God has made you one, you might be totally different. You might have totally different opinions. That's okay. Don't fight that. But that when you really submit to the process, that God will bring you on the same page, and he will speak. And I don't think there's anything he can't cross, any differences. He will do it. But you have to allow that process to happen. And it's painful. It hurts. It's a long time of waiting and trusting. But He's at work, even when you don't see it.
Absolutely.
He is doing something deep in your heart and your soul. He is growing you and changing you in that process.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something you said about something you read in the Bible, how God used a part of the Bible to really speak to you. And which happens a lot, I think. And that's prayer too. Right.
I really hang on verses a lot, and even especially for the new year, Every year I ask God for a verse for the year. Mm. And I don't even really know what is this going to mean for the year. And this is the verse that I got for this year. It's from Lamentations 3:25 through 26. The Lord is good to those who depend on him, to those who search for him. So it is good to wait quietly for salvation from the Lord. And here we are, a month later, we're in the middle of this big crisis, and the State Department is saying, it's time to leave China, and it's whatever. And I think, okay, that's good to know, but right now I'm going to wait and wait for the Lord to speak. Mm. And I can wait quietly. I'm okay. My trust is in God. I'm going to depend on him. And so I keep, every time I start to freak or start to whatever, okay, I'm going to depend on him. Mm. I just lean into a different part of that verse, you know? Mm-hmm. And I don't know what it means and what it will look like, but I just keep holding on to different words or different phrases or different things because it reveals more of God's character and who he is. And I think it's important to realize that, you know, circumstances change and feelings change, but God never changes. And so praising him, praising his character and who he is, that he is faithful, that he is trustworthy, that we can count on him, that he will save us, that he's almighty, all these things of who God is, this never changes. No matter what crisis we're facing, no matter how we're feeling, no matter what we're thinking, God never changes. So I want my faith and my walk with God to be bigger than the circumstances that I'm facing. Mm-hmm. Because circumstances change, and they're gone.
Yeah, that's right. I was here during SARS. Mm. So, you know, I was here. Actually, I was quarantined during SARS.
Oh, you were?
I was, yeah. It was a time where I had one of those visas you can have for like 6 months at a time. Mm-hmm. I think at one time you can even get them for a year at a time. But it expired right at the peak of SARS. You know, mm-hmm. And we couldn't stay without overextending our visa. And back and forth, what do we do? Where do we go? We had to leave China to renew the visa. We normally went to Hong Kong, but at that time it was the worst place to go. Yeah. In the end, we decided, let's just go for it. So we went to Hong Kong right at the peak of SARS and knowing we would be quarantined when we flew back to Shanghai, and we were. But, you know, that circumstance came and went. Mm. And we're in another set of circumstances where we don't know where this is going. And you mentioned, you know, Ruth, you know, and like all of us, we're all doing it. We're, you know, you get online, you're going to your consulate's website, I guess, and looking whatever your consulate or your country is telling you to do or not do, or looking at your favorite news site and do I stay, do I go? You can really see how what we're in now really is stretching us, and especially waiting, feeling like, should I make a decision? Should I, you know, is there a decision to be made? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And looking for some kind of wisdom, right? You know, that says, I don't know what to do. And looking for, I think prayer is certainly a way to facilitate, right? God's wisdom, you know, for us. You were referencing that verse. I thought of a verse that I've been reading, something very similar, because it has weight in it. Mm-hmm. And from Psalm 27, last two verses, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, which is the psalmist's creative way of just saying, not when I die. Mm.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to see the goodness of God in heaven, but I know I'll see his goodness here. Mm. And wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart. And wait for the Lord.
Yeah.
And so that's such a good word when you just don't know what to do, right?
Mm. Yeah.
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 Adam, you were gonna.
No.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. Just want to make sure I didn't miss.
No.
Miss it.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Now, what kind of things? You know, kind of getting down to. All right. Let's figure somebody's listening to us right now, and you know, they can accept the value of prayer, and maybe they're even feeling like, having listened to us, like, yeah, that's what I need. I need that kind of peace or God's voice in my life, because it's just, this time is really stressing me out. But I just don't know how to do that. I don't know how to facilitate that kind of experience, right? What kind of advice, basically, what kind of advice would you give? And practically speaking, what do you do? Like, you personally, what do you do that kind of helps you to come into God's presence, especially at the end of a really stressful day, or at the beginning of the day with a lot of stuff in front of you? Or maybe like right now, maybe there isn't a lot of things going on this day, which is even more stressful than a busy day. Because, you know, it's just a real quiet day. Everything is closed. The holiday just got extended by another week, you know, and you're thinking, what am I going to do? What am I going to do with the kids? You know, how do I get in touch with God?
Yeah.
What do you do? And then either one of you.
I can talk a little bit about that. I think it started with a brother challenging me. This is when I was in Beijing in 2010, 2011. And, this was years ago, and I had a brother challenge me about, what's your quiet time like in the morning? And I remember it always used to be like, oh, it's kind of rushed, it's like 10 minutes here, kind of out the door, or, oh, if I have an early meeting, it'd be like 5 minutes, or, oh, maybe I'll pray on the way. And I remember at the time it was just like, I could not wake up before 7 a.m. Couldn't do it. Just not going to happen, right? And I remember him looking at me and going, why don't you just wake up 30 minutes earlier and start your day with the Lord? 30 minutes earlier. I was like, wow, that's going to push me. That's 6:30. I'm waking up in the sixes. I got a problem with that. Maybe I'll wake up at 6:45 and do the 30 minutes with the Lord. But he just challenged me. He said, try it. So I did it. And I gave 30 minutes to the Lord every morning. And it just increased my relationship with the Lord 3-4 times. It was crazy how much more I was connected and how much more I was hearing from the Lord and just drawing closer. And it was just 30 minutes earlier. And it's amazing. Fast forward now, I now wake up at 5:45. I'm sure the foreign students are like, what? I've never heard of anyone waking up in the fives. I wake up in the fives now. It's crazy. And I would never believe that I would get up early. But now I'm almost an hour with the Lord. And it's not like a bragging thing. It's just saying, like, just setting time before the day begins, and just saying, I'm going to dedicate this time. And some days it's great, and some days it's like a bit of a slog, and some days I can't get, this thing at work out of my mind, but, I still just go through it consistently. And I'd say that's been one really big kind of fundamental block in my life that's been great. Another thing I've been doing is actually set the alarm on my watch for like 6 times a day, and it just goes off and just buzzes on my arm so no one knows. But it'll be in middle of meetings or whatever, and it'll be like, hey, don't forget, And so usually when it buzzes, I stop it, and whatever's happening in that meeting, I'll just pray for a second, like, Lord, guide me here, or, or maybe I'll ask for something. It's just a nice reminder throughout the day that, don't let your whole day go by without thinking of the Lord, because you can get so busy and your mind can get all wound up and all that sort of stuff. And so I definitely really encourage it. And it kind of, there's one other passage I kind of wanted to share, which was in Luke 18. It's the parable of the persistent widow. And I'll just paraphrase, but it was just a widow that kept coming to this judge and just, I'm not being treated fairly, and just keeps going back to this judge. Just keeps saying, I'm not getting justice, and she keeps pushing the judge, and the judge finally gives her the request, right? And so, but I start with Luke 18:6, and the Lord said, so learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep just putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly, but when the Son of Man returns, how many will find on the earth who have faith? And what I love about this is, like, this is just, it's almost like, praying to God consistently. And if you're worried that, like, he's not going to change his mind or not change your situation, he will. He's listening to you. God is listening to you. He wants to engage with you. And I love that because the widow just keeps coming back and the Lord's saying, why don't you be like this widow and keep praying to me every day for this thing? And you know, I'll hear you. I'll work with you on it. Prayer works. And so if I think about kind of the importance of this moment in the morning for me, I love this kind of consistent prayer time to where I can keep going back to the Lord with the same stuff. And if you write these things down, I promise you'll find that so many of them will get worked out. Whether they happen to you or not, if they don't happen to you, the Lord will have changed your heart to where you don't want that thing anymore for XYZ reason. You know, they all work out for good. So I just find that to be really encouraging. So anyway, that's my suggestion on prayer.
Good. Sounds good. Get up a little bit earlier.
Yeah. Apologies to the foreign students. I remember, you know, waking up early is a big ask.
How about you, Ruth? Students. Things that work for you.
Worship music really helps me. Just playing some music and singing along. And sometimes it's just sitting, not singing, with my hands up, like in a receiving type posture. It just helps me to align with him, even though I'm actually not doing anything. I'm just literally receiving from him, and that helps me. I do other things, like especially I do a lot in the kitchen, so I'm often listening to praise and worship music in the kitchen, or a podcast, or a sermon, or something like that. One thing I want to say is this year that I've really been challenged about is I read this book called The Common Rule, and it's just talking about spiritual disciplines. And I've been really challenged at how much our phones and our technology are kind of overtaking our lives. And feeling the need to really set better boundaries about when I use the phone and when I start using the phone, when I stop using the phone. And one thing is scripture before phone. So I've been trying to do this year. Yeah, and I'm half successful and half not successful. But it's okay. I'm growing in it. It's okay. There's no shame. We're growing. It's whatever, but just trying to shift that my priorities and my focus is on the Lord before whatever urgent or non-urgent, really most of the time it's non-urgent stuff that's out there, is screaming for attention. I feel like I need to build more white space in my brain to quiet my brain, and that takes a lot of discipline because if I have a very overworking head, so I'm always constantly thinking about everything, you know, the 800 tabs that are open at the same time in the mind, and the imagining this and planning for that and whatever. And but to learn to quiet my mind and turn off my mind, there's also things that I worry about and I'm have anxiety about, and I've learned to just say, Lord, I trust you with this, and I'm giving this to you. This is the real faith. This is the nitty-gritty of faith, because I'm stopping my natural tendency to say, God, I trust you with this. I am giving this over to you, this situation, or this person, or this whatever. I'm giving this to you, and I trust you to deal with this. And if you want me to do something, please tell me. And that I'm just learning to trust God, to create more room in my head, because when things are busy, I don't hear God as well. I'm not walking. I'm not as in tune with him more. And I want to really grow in this area of spiritual disciplines, but especially with changing technology. I think we need to really change the way we do our lives in order for that to happen. I think we're losing, or at least for me, I've lost some of the really good things about not being connected all the time, which is connection with others, connection with God, that I need to make sure I'm intentional about.
Yeah, that's a good reminder. I find There's this verse in Romans chapter 8. I'll just read it. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And just, it was a great reminder to me, and I need this actually regularly, that, you know, the Holy Spirit is also helping me pray. Because I'm not always able to find the words that I, you know, or maybe just say it just the way, I just don't really even know what to say or what to ask for. And that was something you were saying there, Ruth. That was something that was freeing to me. I mean, you mentioned the different things that you do, you know, that I guess, and I don't know where I came up with this or I got this, but for some reason, I always thought it was like prayer was just me talking, you know, and if I wanted to pray for an hour, it meant I had to talk for an hour. Mm-hmm. I had to talk to God for 1 hour. No listening to worship music. Mm-hmm. And I think it's all those things, like you said. Mm-hmm. All these expressions. You know, might be just worshiping. Mm-hmm. Might be quiet and mm-hmm. be still. And yeah. You know, or reading the Bible. That's all a part of praying. So, mm-hmm. Hey, before we get off of this podcast, because we're getting down toward the end. Especially for those who maybe are thinking, I'd like to give this a try, and I'm interested, but I just don't know where to begin. I want to give you a little bit of a model. So this is just real briefly, and just a couple of minutes, me doing a little bit of teaching and presenting a model for personal prayer. Author Pete Gregg likes to say, when it comes to prayer, keep it simple. Keep it real and keep it up. And so this is very simple, and it follows the word pray, so P-R-A-Y, and the P stands for pause, and that's taking just maybe a minute to just be quiet. Just, you know, I think you mentioned, Ruth, about maybe with palms up, just physically in a posture of I'm open, I'm surrendering, you know, just 1 minute of just being quiet. You maybe like read something from the Bible and just reflect on that quietly for 1 minute, or just complete silence. And then it would be a couple of minutes of just rejoicing, 2 minutes of just something that you're thankful for. Mm. It's one thing I was happened yesterday or in the last few days. I'm thankful for this. Mm. Something that comes to mind, something that one person said, you know, the Northern Lights, you know, that, in fact, what this author said was, nobody looks at the Northern Lights and says, man, I'm awesome.
Yeah.
You know, no one goes to the Grand Canyon or the Three Gorges and says, wow, I'm awesome. You know, no, you're just caught up in the wonder, right? So you just, whatever that, and, you know, and I'm convinced that we're all different people. So what might catch me up in wonder might not do anything for this next person. Like, wow, that causes you to have awe. You know, but it might be different for that person. So whatever brings you into awe, and then so that's the R, P-R, and then the A is ask, and that's the part of prayer we're probably most familiar with. You know, just these are the things I'm concerned about. The Bible says that we should cast our cares on Him. You know, for ourselves, for others. Most of us can usually come up with a list pretty quickly. And then the Y, P-R-A, the Y is for yield, the people who created this said the Y can also stand for yes. So that's where you're saying, God, this is where I surrender, this is where I yield to you, and this is where I say yes to you. And you can pray that prayer in 10 minutes. If you'd like to know a lot more, where this really gets unpacked and gives you a lot of things you can use, you can go to Prayer Course, P-R-A-Y-E-R, Course, C-O-U-R-S-E, all one word, .org, O-R-G, prayercourse.org. And you'll find a lot of great resources there. They'll teach you that pray model. Yeah. It goes in a lot more detail. Especially if you're thinking, I'd love to get started in this kind of thing. I don't know how or where. So hopefully that little tool will help you with that. And connect with the Father more intimately. And You know, the beauty of this is, and I think we've been saying this as we've been talking, is that, you know, with God, you know, just a little bit makes this huge difference.
Yeah.
You said this earlier, Adam, you just like 15 minutes, 30 minutes, it just explodes, you know, the impact of, because you're who you're with, right? And, as we're kind of winding things down, just maybe some final thoughts, both of you, you might want to share for as we're getting going to close out this podcast today.
Yeah, I think it's just about building your intimacy with God and your day-to-day walk with Him. You don't want to just leave it for Sundays because you won't have a deep relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And you won't be able to trust Him when you really need to. Mm-hmm. If you just have a superficial or a weekend faith, you need Him every day. Yeah. So I think that's the basis of it. Knowing Him. And I think also be brutally honest with God. I don't think anything you say to Him is going to shock Him. There's so many biblical instances of people that were honest with God and even changed His mind about things. So God really, I think He really delights in engaging with us. So I think that's just my heart, is to engage with Him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's great. I'm gonna build on something you said a little bit earlier, Ruth, but I guess I would just start with, sounds very Nike, just do it. Like, literally, just start praying. Like, don't wait. Don't wait for the perfect time. Don't wait till, you know, this is over. Once the virus is over, then I have time to pray. No, like, just kick it off. Start with 5 or 10 minutes, whatever it is. But I'm gonna add what Ruth said is, like, don't touch your phone until you've prayed. I challenge people listening, do that. Wake up, turn your alarm off, or brush your teeth, whatever you want to do. Don't touch your phone. Like, give 5 or 10 minutes to the Lord. Just pause, pray, just take your time with Him, and then look at your phone, because Ruth's absolutely right. Like, once you get your phone, your life goes into your head, and then you got to do this, and then your day's moving. It's in those quiet times that you can really find some magic. And I think the Lord will meet you there, and He'll honor your heart of really wanting to connect in that time. So whoever's listening to this, challenge you all, especially during this time, pray. And if you are praying, you know, pray for this virus to be contained and us to move on from it. But yeah, that's what I'd share.
Yeah. All right. Hey, speaking of prayer, we're going to let's finish our podcast with a prayer. So, Father, thank you for this time to share with Ruth and Adam and myself, and for each of us to ourselves to reflect on what you mean to us and the easy access that you give us to come in and know you and know your presence. And it's rich and it's deep, it's meaningful, and it's just great because you're great. And I pray for, especially for people maybe are listening right now who they've never really done this kind of thing, and prayer has always been kind of a mystery, or they felt like maybe I've started and stopped and I felt bad about that, and then I didn't really want to start again. And maybe we'd be encourage our hearts, knowing that the Holy Spirit is already really, really cranked up and ready to help us right now. And I pray also for those of us who, during this time of extended waiting and uncertainty around the virus itself, and maybe even struggling with fears of what might happen to us, that we might know your peace that comes from being in your presence, and the comfort that comes from taking you upon ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so thanks, God. We bless you. We worship you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.